Thank you for tuning into this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Wilbridge, Ohio. Today's homily is given by Father Anthony Cosi, pastor here at St. Jerome, on October 17th, 2021, the 29th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now here is Father Anthony.
This past week, I had the opportunity to go to the Foundation for Life banquet, a nonprofit organization, kind of interreligious dialogue between people of different faiths. To help promote mothers, fathers, children, and of course, save lives and promote the dignity of the human person in our society in Northwest Ohio. And the keynote speaker who spoke after Bishop Thomas was a woman by the name of Melissa, and she was an abortion survivor. You might say, well, how are you an abortion survivor? Well, there was a failed saline-induced abortion, and she was 7 months in utero, and she was born alive. And she was left to die in the operating room right next door. But she didn't know this about her life. She was adopted by foster parents. And one day, her and her foster sister were fighting with one another, as sometimes teenagers do with one another. And her sister said to her in a very mean way, as we can kind of do to one another when we want to hurt the other person when we feel hurt. She said, well, at least my parents wanted me alive. She looked at her. She goes, what are you talking about? So she went to her foster mother and she said, tell me about this, what she's saying. She said, it's true. We had you in our lives after this happened and shared with her the story. She began a quest to find the truth about who she was. And she's 44 years old, and back then HIPAA wasn't as strict as it is now. And she got a hold of her medical records, and they forgot to black out her mom and dad's name. So she found her dad, and she wrote him a letter and said, hey, you know, I just want to let you know that I'm alive and that I'm living in this town. If you'd like to start a relationship, you're more than welcome to do so. I'd like to have that with you. Well, unbeknownst to her, what she eventually found out was that her father never responded to her. Very hurtful. She doesn't know why. She wasn't judging her father. He had to deal with his own issues. The upshot to the story, though, she found out that her father had died, but her grandfather, her paternal grandfather, was still alive. And she developed a great relationship with him. And unfortunately, he passed away last year, but she had many years to spend with him. And when her father died, and she had that relationship with her grandfather, they went to clean out her father's office. And in the front drawer of his desk was that letter that she wrote him several decades ago. So, in a way, a little God wink, letting her know that he still loved her, but probably didn't know how to mend those relationships. She eventually learned more about her story, and she learned that the nurse who was assisting the abortionist was actually her grandmother, and her grandmother had coerced her mother to have this procedure done, and her mom and dad were 19 at the time, and when she rekindled her relationship with her mother told her, I was told that you had died. I didn't even know that you were alive. And Melissa got to meet her half-sisters and rekindle this beautiful relationship with these strong women in her life. What I found fascinating about Melissa's story is that not once did she condemn her grandmother, condemn her father, or condemn anybody. She just wanted to know and to understand about this situation with people and what was going on in their hearts and in their minds. Not once did she condemn them. And she began to do research, and she found out there's a lot of us. She goes, I'm a minority that's not talked about at all. That they think that these procedures are fine and done away with, and nobody survives. But she said there's about 500 that survive every year. And she goes, with Roe v. Wade, she did all the numbers and calculations. She mentioned there's about 19,000 of people like me alive in the United States today. And she said something very bold. She goes, and I'm going to find every single one of them, and I'm going to let them know that they're loved, and I'm going to empower them to realize their dignity. And that's Melissa's whole mission, to help out other people. But not once did she judge anybody for whatever their decisions were on this side or that side. And I found that very admirable. And she said something that struck me and will always stick with me the rest of my life. She was going to help out some women who were thinking about this, and one of them happened to be her sister, too. And she goes, "How can you do this when you know that I am a survivor of abortion?" You know, and she eventually helped her sister work through it, and she has a nephew who's 30 years old now, wonderful man, too. But she was talking to one woman, and she said, Melissa said this one line that will always stick with me, and this woman was yelling at her, saying, "This is my rights, this is what I have." And she said, "My body, my choice." And Melissa felt in her heart, and she said, "That's a very prideful position to be in." Never thought of it that way. Prideful position. And I began to think about what pride actually is. Pride is the mother, the root, the base of all kind of sin in the world. And it really has to deal with gripping and grabbing and thinking, "I have total control," without any reference to where that power came from. Power, pleasure, prestige, all rooted in pride. That I have no reference to God. I can do it all on my own. And if we have free will, then it had to have come from somewhere and from someone. It's a gift. And we're responsible for what we do with the gift. So Melissa summarized it by saying, "It's a very prideful position, and I want to help you through that." Today in our Gospels, James and John take a very prideful position with Jesus. Very prideful. They're next to the source of life itself. And they take a position of gripping and taking ownership of it without any reference and appreciation for the gift of who Jesus is. St. Gregory the Great said that when we sin, it's usually caused by temptation that happens first. And there's things that lead up to the temptation in our life. And he laid out three things. I'd like to share those with you so you can start to see the warning signs in your own life. First of all, he said there's a suggestion. You know, we think about Adam and Eve having a suggestion in their life, right? There's an apple. It's shown to them. Are you going to eat it? And the devil says, "Did Jesus really say that you would die?" Suggestion. All external. Then, the next thing that happens with temptation is it moves into delight or entertainment in our mind. "Ooh, that's a shiny apple. I wonder what it tastes like. I wonder if it's a Granny Smith apple. I wonder if it's a Gala apple. I wonder what it tastes like." Right? We start toying with it in our mind. And the last part, the third part of temptation, is consent. And once we consent to it, we sin. So there's a suggestion, there's delight, and then consent. And we think about Jesus being tempted in the desert, right? We think, well, Jesus was the Son of God. He would have resisted all temptation. Partly true. Jesus' temptation by the devil was all suggestions. Change this bread, change this rock into bread. Jump from the parapet and show us how powerful you are. Bow down and worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms. It stays at the level of suggestion. Never does it move into the interior. Melissa had a lot of suggestions in her life, right? A lot of people telling her different things. "You were wrong. You deserve this. You should go back and maybe tell your mother off, tell somebody off," right? Never once did she do that. Kind of seems delightful at first in our mind, right? Like, yeah, that'll make me feel better. Put an end to this. But never does she do that. Maybe some women that are struggling, right, in those situations. "You'll be free if you do this procedure. The grass is greener on the other side." Or James and John, right? You're next to the source of power itself. Do you want to be famous? Do you want to be next to the King of Glory in this life? And not once, but Jesus tells us that that is not a good position to be in, a prideful position. We have to recognize the warning signs in our life, or else we keep going through the motions and keep repeating the same sins and coming to confession and saying it without recognizing how that happened. So I invite you, every day we're being called to greatness, but we're being tempted in various ways. Maybe not as extreme as somebody like Melissa, but in other small ways all the time. If we can recognize the suggestions, then I can be empowered to actually make a choice. But once the suggestion happens, I have to name it as a suggestion and tell myself I have options. But once I start toying with it in my mind and thinking about it, you're only one small step away from consenting to it. So Gregory the Great, in a very profound way, several years ago before psychology, talked to us about ways to develop self-control. Recognize the suggestions in your life. Be careful when you start entertaining them in your mind, because you're only one small step away from actually giving your full consent. And as you do that over time, you develop a habit, and it defines your character. I admired Melissa because she was living a virtuous life in spite of a great evil and travesty in her life. She overcame great obstacles and odds. And I think if she can do it, and God has given us grace in baptism, we can do the same in our life. Her mission, to find all 19,000 people that are like her and empower and embolden them. So I share with you this. Recognize the patterns in your life. See where you're being called to greatness. Recognize the temptations, the suggestions, when you start to entertain them, so that then you can give your consent and these outside things don't control you.
Thank you for tuning in to this weekend's homily here at St. Jerome Catholic Church in Walbridge, Ohio. Be sure to tune in each week as Father unpacks the scriptures and shares real-life stories that help bring scripture to our lives. Please join us for Mass Tuesday through Friday at 8 a.m., Saturdays at 4:30 p.m., and Sundays at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m. God bless.